Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, verse 11. Proverbs 24:11 says, "If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, Behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works?" Let's pray. Lord, I ask you to bless me this morning, Lord, and the rest of the messages that have been preached this morning, even in the songs, and you touch our hearts and use it for your glory and maybe to change our minds and straighten up our lives. Lord, I ask you to bless. Without your blessing, we're nothing, Lord. We need you and we ask you for your help in Jesus' name. Now, what we have here is four issues that the author of this proverb decided were important enough that he would explain it to us in the Proverbs. He actually says, there's this situation where some people are in a really bad situation, a really bad way, and other people are watching it happen, and these people are dying, and the other people looking at them dying, they pretend not to know or not to see. Basically, they don't care. And he says, but God is watching. God sees. God knows. Now, the four issues that I want to talk about are the deadliness of the situation, the despair of the victims, the disinterest of the spectators, and the discernment of the judge. I'm going to start off with the deadliness of the situation. You see, the thing is, the situation is deadly. People are dying. It's not a small thing. Obviously, whatever the event was that the author of this proverb said, or whatever he saw, and whatever he brought this to mind, whatever it was, he didn't tell us what it was, but obviously it can be applied to a number of situations where there is a deadly situation. If thou forbear to deliver them that are ready for death. They're drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain. Here we have a problem in that this situation is deadly. People are dying and other people are not realizing it or not recognizing how deadly the situation is. And I believe that right now we can say the situation is deadly. The situation of sin is deadly. The situation of our generation is deadly. The philosophies that are going out in the world right now, in our day, are deadly. The decisions Christians are making today are deadly. People are dying. As we speak, they are dying. And they're dying not because they have to die or it's their time to die. They're dying long before they should die. And they're dying horrible, miserable deaths. And it's because of the sin in our generation. In other words, it's a deadly situation, and your children are suffering, and your grandchildren are suffering, and your great-grandchildren are going to keep on suffering because of this situation. It's the problem of sin in our generation. It was the problem of sin in their generation also. But I want you to understand that the situation has become so clearly deadly that we are without excuse if we don't recognize it. You do realize that there is right now at this moment raging a cosmic battle over sin. Right this moment, there's war going on in heaven over sin. There's principalities of the air fighting over this issue of sin. over the minds of men and over the actions and over the philosophies that are going to be spread out in all the world. There's a war going on right now over sin. It's a spiritual war, and there are many, many casualties. It's a deadly conflict, and these sins are deadly from every angle. In other words, we take the fleshly sins, and you see the death in our fleshly sins. For example, the drugs and the drunkenness that are going all over the world today. It's worse now than it was for our grandparents. It's worse now than it was 20 years ago. Now, maybe I'm a little skewed in my perception of this because I work in the juvenile courts, and I basically see is a bunch of young kids that have been deceived by this monster. I see kids every single day that are deceived by this monster, and their lives are being ruined in front of our eyes. It is a horrible, devastating thing. And you know, it really bothers me when people act like it's not a big deal. It bothers me when people who are dressed in suits and call themselves lawyers can tell me it's a gray area. I talked to an intern just the other day in the courts, and she had the gall to tell me that no, even though it's illegal, marijuana is illegal, but it's not that bad of a thing. Maybe it shouldn't be illegal. And let me tell you something. I'm not going to argue whether it should or should not be legal. Let the legislatures decide that. I'm telling you, it's immoral. And people are dying because of it today. And when you say it's a gray area, and I asked her, I said, are you kidding me? A gray area? You would give your children marijuana? And she said, yes, in moderation. I said, you know, I don't want to talk to you anymore. And I turned away and I didn't talk to her anymore. I'm going to have to next week because she's coming to be interning at my place, but whatever. It's not acceptable. The drugs and the drunkenness all over the world is not acceptable. It is not acceptable to have a dad who's a drunk. That's not acceptable. It's not acceptable in any righteous man's ideas or any reasonable man's thoughts. It's not acceptable to be a drunk. It's not acceptable to use mind-bending drugs for your recreational purposes. That's not right. And people are dying. There's a drug war going on in Mexico that's destroying the country. 30,000 people have died already in the last 4 years over this turf territory war. And it's not just all the drug dealers getting killed. It's all the innocent bystanders also. Yep. Don't tell me that this is just, you know, consequences of life. And, you know, it's just one of the statistics that we just have to deal with. These are real people that are really dying right this minute. I'm telling you, the situation is deadly. At least that's the way God sees it. You know the sexual revolution? You've heard of that? The sexual revolution supposedly happened in the 60s? I think it happened long before that. But you know what's happened? What's happened is our entire life is filled with sexual stimulation. All day long, every single day. Filled with sexual stimulation. Do you know what happens when you fill children's minds with sexual stimulation even before they're old enough to handle it? It kills them. It destroys them. It destroys their opportunity for a good marriage. It destroys many of their lives before they even reach maturity. It causes unwanted pregnancies, unwanted babies all over the world. All over the world. We're talking about a huge... In fact, what we're saying right now, what I've heard right now, is that right now, in these United States, more babies are born out of wedlock than in wedlock. And our hope of having a future generation is a whole bunch of children raised, don't know who their daddies are. Well, you say, well, you know, it's one of the things. We're going to have our freedom. We're going to have our whatever. No, this is a deadly, horrible, wicked sin. And it begins at the sexual revolution. It begins at your desire for freedom. Your desire to be able to see, watch, do whatever you want. Dress whatever way you want, right? Go ahead, say amen, ladies. You want to dress any way you want? You have the gall to tell me that you can dress any way you want? People are dying. You know, you might find out that some people are against your way of dress. You say, well, it's just the fashion, it's just the mode, I don't mean anything by it. Why don't you stop your excuses? You ought to know better. Yes. Pornography, how about you? How about that? You boys, you think it's just normal? It ain't normal. It ain't normal. You realize the deadliness of this sin? This sexual revolution, you realize the deadliness of it? I cannot get out of my head the image I saw on television one day of a young girl walking behind a convenience store, and a man, caught on camera, a man grabbed this girl's hand and pulled her and forced her to get into a car and drove off. They found her. Dead, strangled, they found her. What do you think causes that? What do you think causes that? What, are you dumb? You don't know how to follow the trail? I'll tell you what causes it. It's caused by sin. It's caused by wickedness. It's caused by pornography. And you say, well, the psychiatrist and the psychologist can't quite figure out what's causing it. Well, they need to go to church and find out what's causing it. She's dead. Somebody's daughter's dead. Why? Because somebody couldn't get their fill of pornography. It's a deadly situation. Forced prostitution of children. You ever heard of child pornography? You know what they do? They catch a little girl or a little boy and they haul them off there and they have them there for months on end taking pictures of them in sex acts. It's going on right now. You know why? Because somebody's willing to pay for pornography. Yeah. Are you willing to pay for pornography? Because you're going to have to take some responsibility if you are. You're going to have to raise your hand and say, it was me, Lord. Are you willing to pay for it? I watch it all the time. I ask probation officers all the time what they think. Because they're dealing with these kids in their homes all the time, trying to help them out. And these are good people trying to help them out. I ask them, what's the problem? What's the problem with these children? Why is it happening? They're raised in single homes. I said, what are we talking about percentage-wise? What are we talking about? Nearly all of them. So do you have a right to just divorce? You got some rights? You want to stand up to your rights? You're going to stand up for who you are and what you have rights? You don't have to put up with that. Go ahead. Tell that to God. Go ahead and tell God what you don't have to put up with. Number one cause of poverty in the United States. Single parenthood. You ever heard about equal opportunity? Equal opportunity for women. You know what it takes to have equal opportunity for women? Abortion on demand. That's what it takes. That's right. If you want equal opportunity, ladies, you got to give women the right to kill their babies. One of the huge medical industries right now in these United States. Billions and billions of dollars paid to kill babies. You say, well, you know, they don't have any nerves before the first trimester. So are you willing to take responsibility for the pain caused in the second trimester? Have you found out how many kids are killed in the second trimester in our country? And do you realize a good number, many thousands of kids are killed in the third trimester? That's right. These are kids that could live outside of the womb.
That's right.
Oh, they're dead. No, you can't bring them back. There's nothing you can do about them. Their little personality's gone. Squashed. Killed. Why? For your equal opportunity. So you can have the right to be a fireman or have a career or whatever. You see what God says? The situation is deadly. This is really bad news. You realize the wickedness in the mind? You know, about 150 years ago, somebody had a real, real smart idea. Actually, it was long before that. Hundreds of years before that, people had the idea that there has to be an explanation for how this world came about that does not include God. And they did. They came up with some really, really persuasive imaginations. They called it evolution. We just kind of happened. And you know what's happened because of evolution? The world has gone straight downhill. There was racism before evolution, but it got a whole lot worse after that. You don't believe me, do you? You actually need to just study out on it, figure it out. You know what social Darwinism is? You have a clue what social Darwinism is? Kill off the lesser races. It's called Nazism. Kill them all off. We don't want them. They're the lower races. They're the unevolved. We're going to kill them. Do you realize how many people died because of social Darwinism?
Yep.
In the death camps, not counting the war that was fought to stop it, but in the death camps, 17 million undesirables. How many people have to die before you realize something's really wrong with this? You know what else was caused by Darwinism? A rampant disregard of God and His word and His will. And you know what has happened? You know, they actually began to establish governments based on the non-God thesis. Most of them have failed, fallen apart. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
These communist governments falling right and left, falling right and left. You know why? Because somebody stood up and fought. Don't you say Vietnam was a waste. Don't you say it. Nobody died in Vietnam wasting their lives. They were fighting for something.
Amen.
Korea wasn't a waste. If you served in Korea, you did not waste your life. You did not waste your time. They were fighting for something back when people knew what they had to fight for. Communism is one of the worst things that could happen to any country. But they have a philosophy based on no God. You realize there are humanists in this country that want to arrest parents for spanking their children. In fact, Richard Dawkins actually said in his book, he thinks that children of religious parents should be taken away from them so that they can't indoctrinate them. You think it might not happen, right? You know, it's amazing to me what people would say before all of this century, this last century happened. And what they would say, no, it's harmless. We're not doing anything wrong. It's fine. It's going to cause utopia. You know what it caused? Death. Millions upon millions of death. Did you know that they say in the purges, I don't know for sure, but they say in the purges, I've read it, in the communist purges in the Soviet bloc, 25 million people were killed. Just in the Cultural Revolution, that is in the late 50s and early 60s, in China, 25 million people killed. No telling how many people were put in the concentration camps or in prison. You see, you can't play around with sin. You can't say, oh, you know, it's all right. It's all right. They have their opinion. We have our opinion. Let's just, you know, let's try to live together in harmony. Let's be friendly. Let's be tolerant. Let's just accept. No, let me tell you something. What this is deadly. It's a deadly situation and people are dying right now. But I'm going to tell you one more thing, and you really need to understand this. There are spiritual sins that are also deadly. And I'll tell you the reason why. Because they offend God. There is no sin compared to the ones that are committed against God. And yeah, that includes idolatry. You pray into saints? You're offending God. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm just telling you. If you pray to saints, you're offending God. If you pray to Santa Claus, you're offending God. You teach your children to pray to Santa Claus, you're offending God.
Amen.
And let me tell you something, God is deadly. You can't mess with God. You see, because God takes this stuff seriously. He's not playing around with you. He's not saying, look, you know, I just want to live and let live. I will let you have your opinion. Jesus said, every plant which my Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Rooted up. He's not going to put up with it. It's a deadly situation. Forsaking God as maker, unmindful of God's heritage, forgetting God as the source of blessing, an uncommitted attitude toward God and His truth, lightly esteeming His salvation, unwillingness to submit to His known will. You know what would happen if God finally says no more and He withdraws His protection? You die. You die. The only reason why you're not dead right now is because God has kept you alive. How deadly is this situation? Deadly enough that when Jesus Christ came, He should have reigned, but He died. He should have reigned, but He died. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. He went to the cross and died. Why? Because it's a deadly situation. The despair of the victims. You see, you're looking at all this stuff through your own little rose-colored glasses about your rights and your desires, and everything's revolving around you. You know what? God, He's seeing the victims. God knows how to distinguish between the scorner and the victim. He knows how to say some people are brokenhearted and other people are just self-destructive. See, God can make a difference. God can look and say, I see victims everywhere. I see victims of your decisions everywhere. You say, I don't see those victims. I don't know how many times I knock on doors. I don't know how many times people tell me, I don't hurt anybody. I don't hurt anybody. I'm a good person. I try not to do anybody any harm. You see, but God can see a whole lot farther than you can see. God knows about your pornography. You don't hurt nobody, right? When are you going to take some responsibility for those little kids that have been killed? When are you going to take responsibility for the incest out there? Hello? People are dying. This is a horrible situation. God's looking at the victims. So you got rights, do you? Do your victims have rights? Let me ask you, you have the right to watch anything you want to watch because of the First Amendment? Is that right? You got the rights to do whatever you want? Live how you want, do whatever you want? You better take responsibility for the victims then, because they got rights too. What about my kids' rights to be raised in a non-sexually stimulated environment? How about that? Why don't I have that right? Why can't we have the right to live in a righteous place?
Amen.
In a place where judgment is done correctly. In a place where people are responsible adults and not wicked adults. Why don't we have the right to that? You better stop worrying about your rights and your liberties and start worrying about the victims, because God is. You read your Bible and you find out how many times He says He's going to take up for the fatherless and the widow and the afflicted and the poor and the needy. Just do a search in your concordance. If you don't got one, I'll show you how. It's real simple, right on the internet. You can just go right in there, pop, type it in, right, and you find out. Look up poor and needy and afflicted and fatherless and widow. Find out what God says about the victims. You got the right to fornicate, do you? You got the right to do drugs? You got the right to get drunk? Sure you do, right. You got the rights to your religious traditions? You say, well, I got my religion and I got my rights. I'm afraid you do not have the rights to have whatever religion you want. You see, the moment it becomes clear that it's untrue, you don't have the right to keep it. God doesn't give you that right. You don't have a right to lie to your children. I'm not talking about American rights. Here in America, you got those rights legally. I'm talking about God. God says you don't have that right. What about the disinterest of the spectators? What we got is a whole lot of onlookers. And they have so many excuses. I didn't know. I don't know that. I'm not sure. I'm undecided. You know, I don't want to be a fanatic. I don't want to be dogmatic. I don't want to cause a conflict. The conflict's already raging. It's all around you. You just don't want to suffer for it. You don't want to choose a side.
That's true.
What you do is you just sit around and you watch it happen. You won't even open your mouth. You won't even choose a side. You won't say, no, I cannot be in agreement with that. Why? Because you'd lose friends. I got an advantage over you. I got way too many friends. I don't need that many friends. You probably got too many friends yourself. You could use a few fewer. You could use to lose a few by standing up for what's right.
Amen.
By standing up for what's true.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
By losing your face in favor of God's cause. You see, because God's trying to save people's lives. He's trying to save people out of hell. He's trying to salvage people's marriage. He's trying to save the grandchildren. Some other generation in the future. And you sit there with your hands washed and you wipe your mouth and you say, I've done no evil. You make no stands. You're not willing to stand. You're not willing to fight. You're not willing to open your mouth. It wouldn't hurt you to say, hey, stop your cussing around me.
Amen.
Stop using the name of the Lord in vain around me. It wouldn't hurt you to say, no, I don't believe in Santa Claus. It wouldn't hurt you to say that. Why not? Why can't you take a stand on something? Why can't you say, I'm going to fight for God. I'm going to be on God's side. You know, because there is no neutral in this war. Either you're scattering or you're gathering. Which are you doing? Then we come to the discernment of the judge. You realize that there's going to be accountability at the judgment. I know some people have a real hard time with this, but I don't care. I really do believe, and I believe the Bible teaches it, and I think I can prove it to you by the Bible. That your guilt goes way beyond the things you actually do. You're going to wind up being guilty of the things that people do that you associate with. In fact, there's guilt in association even in our Texas laws. It's called the law of parties. Accomplices, instigators, approvers, encouragers, or discouragers. Endorsers, indifferent, and silent. It's a sin of silence. You should open your mouth. Now the reason why this is important, people, is because people are dying. Go ahead, shrug your shoulder. I don't care. I don't care if people die. I don't care what's happening out there as long as I'm okay. What happens when you're not okay? What happens when it's your kid that's killed? It happens. Sinner, your decisions about sin is for your life. The Bible says he goes into the harlot, or the strange woman, actually, it says. Goes in the strange law. He knoweth not that it's for his life.
Yeah, that's right.
It's for his soul. It's the doorway to hell.
Yeah, right.
You're making a choice that's about your life. And let me tell you something. It's not just about your life. It's about your children's life. It's about your wife's life. It's about your grandchildren's life. It's about your neighbor's life. You sin, you make your decision, you say it's my choice. I'll handle it at the judgment seat of Christ, or I'll handle it at the great white throne. I'll explain my way to God. I've got a real gift of gab, and I'm going to convince Him God is dead serious about your sin. He is not playing around with you, I promise you that. Just because you have lived with almost no consequences in all of your decisions, you're still young, you're still healthy, everything's going. God hasn't forgotten. He hasn't overlooked it. He sees the victims every single day. People are dying all the time for the things you do. And He is really, really intelligent. You're not going to put one over on Him. God is dead serious about you repenting.
Amen.
You have to repent.
Amen.
You got to say, I'm wrong. You better start fearing for your life. You ought to fear God. You ought to say, God, I'm wrong.
Yes.
While there's a chance. While God would say, yes. I'll listen to you if you repent right now. I'll listen because there's going to come a day when He won't listen. He's going to say no more. I called and you did not answer. I pleaded with you. I begged with you and you would not hear. Believer, you are accountable. God knows your heart. Indifference will cost you dearly. Your sin will cost you dearly. You know what God says? If you live after the flesh, you shall die. Talking to Christians. You live after the flesh, you'll die. Your half-hearted self-reformation is not going to please God. It's not going to satisfy God. Your mediocre attempts at pretense, all of your excuses together, they're not going to satisfy God. God is not going to be happy with anything half-hearted, lukewarm, or mediocre. No more excuses. No more self-justifying ways of looking at things. Stop figuring out ways to tug verses and quote the Greek. Stop the sin. Fight for the gospel. We're going to stand and sing number 388. If you've got something you want to get right with God, you're welcome to come up to this altar. I would urge you to get whatever you got to get right with God, get it right. Number 388.